Do you ever struggle with making the right decision? Caught between crosshair? Which way do I go? What decision do I make as it relates to who will I marry? Or what job will I take? What congregation to place membership at? Or even dealing with domestic issues, home, siblings, so forth and so on. The Bible is replete with information that helps us to discern good from evil. What I'm going to be presenting tonight is just a template, if you will, of discerning, knowing the difference between right from wrong, good from evil. But what about this aspect? Good, better, and best. You know, sometimes when you consider decisions being made, it's not a right or wrong. It's not a sinful situation or not a sinful situation. Sometimes it's all about what is the right decision or a good decision, or could there be a better decision? What's the best decision I can make? So I'm not going to really go through any type of case studies, if you will, but talk about some principles that I know for a fact are the foundation of making a good decision or a better decision, yea, the best decision. And we need lessons like that, because we live in a world today where people are making some pretty good decisions. But looking back 5 years, they say, you know, I could have made a better decision. Or say, you know what, I had a couple options in front of me and I made the better decision. You know, I probably could have made even better decision than that. Let's start at Hebrews 5, and we're going to take our time. We're going to read passages and we're going to see how this particular lesson lines out. Friends, I truly believe that if we're going to make the best decisions possible, number one, as y'all are going to Hebrews 5, verses 12 through the end of the chapter, the fear of the Lord has to first be in your heart. We got to start there, Proverbs 1:8. You have to have the fear of the Lord. Well, you can't have reverence for God if you are not in the Word of God itself. Proper reverence for God as the children of God. I'm not talking about those who are living lives who care less about God. I'm talking about the people of God. We want to make good, sound decisions, spiritual decisions, and we want to make the best decision. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through verse number 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Underline that if you desire, but that's key. The word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, here it is, to do what? To discern both good and evil. Friends, you think about the Hebrews writer and what he's saying, you think about what they were going through, and over a period of time have began to fall away from God. To leave the faith of Jesus Christ after going through much persecution, family and those otherwise, wanting to go back under a system that had been nailed to the cross. But we see for a fact that he is calling them back to the word of righteousness. He's calling them back to the standard that's going to teach them how to be able to discern good from evil, right from wrong, good, better, or best. We know the best decision is to stay in Christ, concerned in the context. But I want to use this as a platform because we understand that if we're going to make good, solid spiritual decisions, James chapter 3. Let's look at verses 13 through verse number 18. We need wisdom. We need wisdom, not our own wisdom. James 3, starting at verse 13. And if we're not careful, it's easy to lean on our own understanding, Proverbs 3, verse 5. But God never wanted his people to lean on their own understanding. God has always wanted his people to lean on his word. James chapter 3, starting at verse number 13. We're not going to read all of this, but we're going to drop down here in a couple of seconds. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by a good lifestyle, good conduct, that his works are done. Notice the attitude here. Meekness of wisdom. Drop down to verse number 15. We notice that a wisdom that is from below is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Drop down to verse 17. Here it is. This is the wisdom we want right here. If we're going to make good decisions, if we're going to make the best decision possible, number one, we got to wait on the Lord. Number two, we have to exercise some patience. Number three, we have to seek wisdom that comes forth from above. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18 is just as important as verse number 17. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, these are good principles as relates to even making decisions at home. How do I treat my fellow man? How do I treat my spouse? How do I treat my children? How do I treat my mother? How do I treat my brethren? All of those things line up right here. What type of decisions do we make? And friends, every decision we make has some type of spiritual foundation to it. How we spend our money is just as wrong for me to spend my money in immoral ways than it is to waste it on absolutely nothing with not having God in mind. Can't do that. We need to use good judgment. I want us to notice another passage. Let's go to the book of Matthew. What do these have to do with discerning? Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at the blesseds. How do I discern good from evil? How do I put myself in the best position possible that I can make the best decision? Having the proper attitude. Friends, I know for a fact, and because we've all done it, we've all been upset. We've all had not had all of the information, and we made decisions, and after we have gotten all of the information or calmed down a little bit, then, you know, I probably should have done it this way. But notice the first two things that come out of our Lord's mouth, humility and mourning. We talked about that this morning, but I want us to look at it in this particular vein. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. That's an attitude. Humility. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does thirsting and hungering after righteousness have to do with what school that I want to go to? What person I want to marry? Type of job that I really want. Well, if I am in any of those positions in life and it's causing me or putting me in a position where I cannot exercise those things, I need to refrain from that. Notice what it goes on to say. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Friends, God wants us to have the right attitude. And most of the time when we make bad decisions, it's because we have the wrong attitude. We don't have the mind of Christ, putting others before self. Let's notice something. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first 8 verses, we call this the love chapter. We know for a fact that if we can begin to master this attitude, our whole life will change. And as a matter of fact, and I know this is true and it cannot be refuted, God wants us to master love. Well, we can't do that. Yes, you can. It requires you really being disciplined and developing your attitude. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I know for a fact that if we can begin to develop these things and master these attributes in our lives, it will cause us to make good, solid, spiritual decisions. Drop down to verse number 4. Love suffers long, 1 Corinthians 13, and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Now, let's stop there for a second. I wish I had until about 9 o'clock tonight. The last thing you want, or we want, is to have an evil attitude when it's time to make decisions. Or an attitude of covetousness. Or an attitude of desiring to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the last thing you want when you are attempting to make a good decision. And keep in mind, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, we want our decisions to glorify God. Everything that we do, we want it to glorify God. So notice what he says here. Look at verse number 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Notice, love never fails. These are attitudes that God wants us to have. This is a mentality that God wants us to have. And I know for a fact many marriages would stay together if we was to just apply what we've already talked about in these last 15 minutes. Amen? You know, it is possible to be married and just be roommates. Amen, walls and wonders and lights. You all know it's true. And what does this have to do with discernment? A lot. Because humility says, okay, I'm going to look out what's best for my spouse. I'm going to look out for my children. I want my children to begin learning to look out for the family. Or about being mistreated on the job. As Christians, we have a responsibility to make good decisions. But how will this happen? Look at Philippians 1. Let's start at verse number 6, and then we're going to look at verse number 9. Philippians chapter 1. I just thought about this right now. I want to throw this verse in. Verse 6. Because this is a confidence booster right here. Verse 6. It's a confidence booster. If I know for a fact that God is with me and that he's not going to give up on me, that means that I'm going to take my time and I'm going to think things through based upon what the Spirit's teaching teaches me, the Word of God. Notice Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. If you have been baptized into Christ, if you are a member of the Church of Christ, your sins have been washed away. You are a member of the blood-bought institution of Jesus Christ. You ought to have confidence that God is with me. Therefore, I need to be asking God for wisdom. Therefore, I should not put myself in a position that I'm making decisions based upon what I feel, what I think, what I hope, but based upon what is best for the kingdom of God. Drop down to verse 9. And this I pray. Notice Paul's prayer. I'm going to try to stay out your lesson, Brother Pope Jones, Sunday mornings and Wednesday. But look what he says. And it's beautiful. He says, and this I pray. Now, if anybody had a relationship with the Father, it was Paul. Paul, what are you praying for? That your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all what? Discernment. To tell the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, better and best. Look at verse number 10. In order that you may approve the things that are excellent. Friends, can we begin to have the mentality and the attitude that we're not just going to settle for mediocrity? But if anything, we're going to reach for the highest. the highest attitude that I can have. The highest love I can give. The deepest humility that I can muster up. And most of the time, we make bad decisions. I said we make bad decisions because that's what I want. But the question is, what does God want? And I guarantee you, friends, if we can just go through the scriptures and look at God's word, I'm reminded of what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He even said in Psalm 119, 105, he says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He said that the word has been settled forever in heaven, Psalm 119, verse number 89. I just need to go to the word of God before I make a decision on anything. Brother Barney, you say I need to go to the word of God just so I can crank up my car? Let's not get crazy. We're talking about things that's going to alter our lives spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. And I know for a fact that our feelings, our emotions, all of those things ride on how we think. So God desires for us to have an excellent attitude. Reach for those things that are excellent. Notice what he goes on to say. In order that you may be sincere. That's a very powerful word. But the word literally means to shine the light upon. To expose what is underneath the light. And without offense to the day of Christ. God wants us to be a people that we can constantly have our lives examined by him. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 27, we understand that God is the one, the Father is the one that knows the hearts of all men. But friends, we know our own heart too. If anybody knows our heart, it is me. It's us. We know how we think. And what God is trying to do in us as he is conforming us to the image of his son, Romans 8:29, he says, I want to put you in a position that you can make good spiritual decisions. Why? Because he knows that when we begin making bad decisions, it alters our lives. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Old preacher said one time, he said, this lesson might not mean anything to you today, but you keep living. It'll mean something to you later. Don't go sleep on me yet. Should have took a nap. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. Walk in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, sometimes, especially as I talk to young people, and sometimes older, over the last 20 years, they say, Brother Bonner, I just don't know if she's right for me or he's right for me. Well, let me ask you this question. Are you involving yourself in sexual activity? Well, I can already tell you it's wrong. Amen. Let me tell you why. Now, people might not like this, but it's true anyway. Anybody that would put your soul in jeopardy, you need to talk to them and say, hey, you need to get out of my life until we can get this right. And that's why living together without being married is wrong, because you're putting each other's soul in jeopardy. Amen. That's not love, that's lust. So this discernment there, God is already telling us, okay, I've already given you the decision. Just stay with me. If I'm going to put myself in a financial bind because I don't want to go to work because I want to stay home and play Xbox, I already know something's wrong. Y'all smile. Hey, I know a brother in Christ that lost his job because he wanted to stay home and play games, and his boss found out about it and fired him. You know, that's bad decision making, right? Oh, what about if I just want to go buy a car? Well, it depends. It depends on, can you afford it right now? Well, if I buy this car, then I have to cut down on my giving. Well, then you probably don't need the car right now. I know people that will do that. They will rob God in order to You know what? It's amazing how many people are riding around or have a whole bunch of stuff in their closet that's stolen. Meaning that you rob God in order to buy it. You know, usually they lock you up for stolen stuff. Now, that may be comical, but friends, that's true. People rob God all the time. But the Bible teaches us that he desires for us to make good spiritual decisions. And those are spiritual things. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, this is powerful, and this ought to help us as we're striving to make good decisions in our lives. Whether it is parenting, whether it is money management, it doesn't matter what it is. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I've never had anybody use passages like this. Friends, these are mentality. These are attitudes that God wants us to have. And when we have these attitudes, we can make good decisions. And here is the main point that I want to make. And be right with God. Oh, see, brother, a lot of people out in the world, they're doing these things. It seems like they're making it. Psalm 73. Now, just because those in the world have seems as if things are going well in their life, even the psalmist said, but when I saw their end, then I knew. In 2 Peter chapter 1. God wants us to add some things to our faith. Which means that God desires for us to continue to grow. Starting at verse number 5 through verse number 11, notice what is said here. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that is moral excellence. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. Godlikeness. To godlikeness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Notice what he says. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Now I want to say this. Just because we have made some bad decisions in life, isn't it a blessing that God doesn't throw us away? That we can bounce back from bad decisions? Isn't it good that we can bounce back from decisions that may not have been the best? All of us have. And we turn around and we give God glory because of it. But the last thing that we want to do is to continue to make bad decisions or not the best decision. And I'm reminded of what someone said a long time ago, that if you continue to make the same decision expecting something different to happen, that is insanity. God wants us to make good decisions. But we have to train our hearts. We have to train our minds. We need to go back to the Word of God. And I'm going to leave you with a biblical illustration of a man that used great wisdom. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's go there. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we come across a man by the name of Solomon. And remember, he asked God for wisdom. God asked him, you can have anything you want. What do you want? He said, you have such a great people. Grant me wisdom that I may be able to lead them. When was the last time we asked God for wisdom before making any decision? Question, is it wrong to ask God for wisdom in making any decision? I think sometimes we often make decisions and we don't even consult God. I do. And the next thing you know, I got to go back and tell God, I'm sorry. Help me fix this. Anybody else? Yeah? Just go like that. Help me fix this. And really what God is teaching us is I want you to have full trust in me. that you can make good decisions. God has given us his word that pertains unto life and godliness. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to make good decisions. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through verse 28. Notice, now I want to read this because this is a great illustration that we need to end off on. That will help us. And the only reason why Solomon could do what he is about to do, what we're about to read, is because he asked God for wisdom first. Now, two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. One woman said, "Oh, my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born." Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives and your son is dead.' And one said, 'No, but your son is the dead one and my son is the living one.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword for the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to one and give half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king. She yearned with compassion for her son. She said, 'Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." Friends, I don't know about you, but in order to have that type of wisdom, you got to know the word. You got to know God. You got to have a prayer life. You have to slow down and allow God to navigate your life. For if God doesn't navigate our lives, that means we're navigating our own lives. And if we're navigating our own lives, it's going to lead us somewhere where God doesn't want us. So, whether it is our homes, our businesses, yea, our own lives, let God navigate your life. And allow the word of God to help you to make your decisions in everything. We want to be a people at 9th and Main that don't make our own decisions. We want God to have influence in our decision making. Amen. You know why? Because if God influences my decision making, then I know for a fact I'm going in the right direction. And even if it doesn't turn out right, I'm still going in the right direction. But if I don't go to the Word of God, then I know for a fact that it can go any direction. And then there's going to be a lot of crying and mourning, yea, hurting in my life and in the lives of my family. Whatever we do, word or deed, we do it by His authority. I wanted to say these things because for many years, I didn't go to God for everything. And I know we have young people here, and sometimes as young people, we think we know it. Yes, we think we got all the answers. You know, us old people, we're the same way. Y'all go ahead and smile. We're the same way. Might not admit it, but we're the same way. We want to go to God for everything. Why? Jesus did. Jesus didn't make not one decision without knowing his Father approved of it. John 8, verse 29. I'll always do those things that please him. May God bless us. May God keep us to never lean on our own understanding, but to lean on the understanding of God. I'm going to ask Brother Popejoy to come and offer a word of prayer for the congregation to have more wisdom and discernment. Come on, my brother. And then we're going to give the invitation. And maybe someone needs special prayer. Maybe someone is hurting and don't know what direction to go in. That happens in our lives. But God has given us the wisdom in his word. We just got to go to the word of God and ask God for wisdom. Brother Pope.
Our most righteous and loving Heavenly Father, as we come into thy presence this evening, we realize that we are extremely blessed to be called thy children. We realize that our blessings do not stop there because you have given us guidance and direction through thy word. We appreciate the words that Brother Mike has brought to us tonight. We appreciate the direction that you would have us to go. And our Heavenly Father, as a congregation, we realize that we have a direction too, not just as individuals, but as a collective group, we have a direction that we are to go. We ask, Father, that as we contemplate upon our direction each and every day, each and every week, each and every year, that we would do so with thy will in mind, that it might not just be in mind, but it might be our preeminent decision-making process. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the many individuals that are part of this congregation that help strengthen one another, build one another up in the most holy faith. We ask that you would be with us, our Heavenly Father, and continue to help us to grow and to make those kinds of decisions, those decisions between good and evil, and those decisions between good, better, and best. Help us to make those decisions that are most excellent. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. It may seem a little unorthodox to have him come and offer a word of prayer. But friends, we all need help. We all need encouragement. Sometimes we don't make the right decision. And maybe if you're not a child of God, don't continue to make the wrong decision by not following Jesus Christ. By accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ to be Lord, and being buried in water for the remission of your sins, and allowing God to add you to his Son's church. Or maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been making good decisions. And maybe you're struggling with making a decision to allow the church here, the family of God here, to pray for you. Don't do that. That's why we're here. To help one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to bless one another. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.